Welcome to our class in Yom Kippur. And first thing we'd like to tell you is Rav Yisrael of Salat used to say about Yom Kippur. He says if it would come once in 70 years, you know, once in 70 years you have a day that cleanses you, you know, from all sins, it would be an Oysher Gadol. It would be a tremendous source of a great treasure. Right? How much more so we have a day every single year that completely cleanses us. What a tremendous matana. What a tremendous gift. Yom Kippur. So that's number one that we have to have in our mind. Okay? The other thing, actually I should preface the whole share of this. First thing you have to understand, I want you guys to know this, there's a God in the world. I'll tell you why I'm saying this. Rabbi Victor Miller, who we were just talking about, in the middle of davening once, I think it was, you know, in the middle of davening once, he suddenly stopped, and he clopped on the bima, and he says, I want you to know, everybody, there's a gut in the welt. Why? Because we get so caught up in routine and davening and shuckling and getting the right seat and getting the right machzor, right? The right clothes, the right dress. How's this tie look? You know, the whole bit. And we forget that we're supposed to be davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We forget that we're standing before God. All the, you know, we get involved in so much of our customs, our minhags, our rituals, our routines that we forget one thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's what we got to focus on. In Yom Kippur, we mamash got to focus. We are before Hashem. What are we doing there? What's going on? Okay. What is it? About 30 hours away is Yom Kippur. You know that? 30 hours. It's just 30 hours. It's Kol Nidre, guys. It's up. It's upon us. Yom Kippur is here. We got to register. It's a day of cleansing. Mamish, a day complete. It's a mikvah. Yom Kippur is a mikvah. Mikvah Yisrael Hashem. Hashem's our mikvah on Yom Kippur. We become a Bria Chadasha. We become a new being. We can start all over. Fresh, new. You know? You ever get a nice white suit, dress, right, from the cleaners? Nice and fresh. You're very careful. You don't want to get any stains on it. If you've had it for a while, your slots are makbid, right? Right? You got a few stains, right? Well, we're going to the dry cleaners tomorrow night, right? We're going to get cleansed. We got a chance to start fresh and new. Now, it says, people call these days, you know, the days of awe, awesome days. You know, this is Rav Simcha Zissel used to call these days Yomim Nechmadim, sweet days. These are sweet days. These are beautiful days, days of great opportunity. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, you know what it says? You know what the biggest day of Simcha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? The biggest day of Simcha for Hashem is Yom Kippur. Why? Because His children are being cleansed. Yeah? We're being cleansed. We get to, you know, that's the biggest Simcha for Hashem. A day of pure forgiveness and atonement? Oh, yeah, that's a tremendous simcha for Hashem. So, that's, on one hand we have that aspect. Yom Kippur is a day of tremendous simcha. It's the ultimate yontov. It's a yontov. You know, there's that aspect. We're being cleansed, purified. No greater simcha than that. Being forgiven of our sins. On the other hand, it's a day of tremendous anxiety, trepidation, awe. It's a day of judgment. Yeah? So it's a paradox that we find often in Yiddishkeit. We serve Hashem out of love and out of fear. As David HaMelech writes, Gilu Birada, trembling, you know, rejoicing while trembling. Because when something great is at stake and you can get a lot out of it, you know, you have a lot of anxiety. You want to make sure you get everything you can out of it. Right? So those are some of the aspects we have to kind of like get our game face on these things as we go into Yom Kippur. A key word of the day is tshuva, guys. Right? Tshuva. And tshuva, if you break it down, You know, the Hebrew language, again, you know, the essence is so beautiful. Tshuva, if you break it down, you have Tshuv Hashem. The letter Hey at the end stands for Hashem. That's what Tshuva is. You know what it is? It's returning back to Hashem. You're coming back home. That's what it is. Tshuva, not just repentance. You're coming back to yourself, to the real you. You're coming back to Hashem, coming back home. Shalom Aleichem. Okay? That's what tshuva is. Okay, we always translate as repentance, but the truth is, tshuva means return. Okay. Some other things I want to share with you. Really was going to open this class with a story, a famous story that Elaine likes very much about the Chofetz Chaim. It's an important story for Yom Kippur. You know, Chofetz Chaim, the great Chofetz Chaim, the great tzaddik, lived very modestly, to say the least. You know, as we know, you know, all the stories about the Chofetz Chaim, his house was a rickety old house, and he had basically a table, some chairs, a bench, a chvais, you know, very, very modest. So, the famous story, right, remember the guy's coming through town, this is a big businessman, he comes to visit the great Rav, the Chofetz Chaim, and he looks around, he figures, you know, the Rav, you know, the Gadol Ador, you know, the leader of all Jewry, him or Rav Chaim Oizer, right, surely he's going to be in a house befitting such a stature. He looks around, he sees this rickety old house, a couple pieces of chairs, you know, and a table, and he said to the Chofetz Chaim, where's all your furniture? What's, you know, you live like this? Where's everything? So Chofetz Chaim said back to him, where's your furniture? He goes, what do you mean, where's my furniture? He said, I carry my furniture wherever I go. I'm passing through. I'm just passing through all my goods, all my tapestries, and my carpets, and my crystal, right, and my silver, and all these things. My beautiful furniture's at home. I'm just passing through. I'm not going to take it with me. Chofetz Chaim told him, same thing with me. I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through in this world. My goods, I'm storing them up in the next world. Right? That's where all my crystal, you know, my mitzvahs, Torah and everything, that's in the next world. Passing through. I'm just making do. That's the idea of this world. You make do. If you have good things, gesundheit, enjoy them. But don't find your simcha from that. We'll talk about that later. Okay? So that's Yom Kippur. Why am I saying this? How does the story relate to Yom Kippur? Because, you know, 2 days of year, we fast 26 hours. Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Now, Tisha B'Av is a day, it's a bitter day. It's a day we are commemorating the destruction of the temple, and we're mourning. We're mourning that. So Yom Kippur has similar halachas. You know, we afflict ourselves, we abstain. We have to look at that word, affliction. But it seems like we're afflicting ourselves by also not eating, by also not drinking, by also not cohabitating, by also not anointing ourselves with oil or showers. The same five things. Those are the five things. Right? So it seems very similar to Tisha B'Av. But we have to realize, no, it's a whole different reason why we're doing it on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you know, we abstain from these things not because of a mourning, because Yom Kippur is a microcosm of what this story, of what this world is all about. To make do with that as least as possible. You understand? In fact, Rambam, when he refers to the abstaining from these five things, he doesn't call them afflictions. He calls them a shvisa, a rest. You hear? Isn't that beautiful? It's a rest from these things. You don't need them. Right? That's why it's called, Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbason. Shabbos from work like any Shabbos, and Shabbason is a cease from, deceasing from these physical and normal physical enjoyments of the body. Today, on Yom Kippur, we can rest from these. That's the vort. It's not an affliction. We don't need to be bothered by them. We don't need to be bothered by the narishkeit of the world. We can concentrate on the main thing. We don't have to be distracted by the obsession and the preoccupation of pampering the body and the nerve endings all the time. On this day, we take a break. We go on vacation from the physicality. That's it. Today, Yom Kippur, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a rest. Right? Get away from the gashmias. Rest from the physical and concentrate on Yom Kippur. Concentrate on the spiritual, on why you're here in this world. Right? Pirkei Avos. Right? Ha'olam hazeh doimeh. Ha'olam hazeh doimeh leprozdor lefnei ha'olam haba. This world is like a lobby to the next world. Hatken atzmacha beprozdor kedei shekatanes letraklin. Prepare yourself in this world so you can enter the next world. This is the hallway. This is where you get your tie straightened out. Fix the lapels. Right? This is it. You're just getting ready here for the next world. That's where the big banquet is. So, in the lobby, you know, who cares in the lobby? What do you got in the lobby? You got a light bulb there, maybe a bench, right? You're not going to live there. You're not living in the lobby. You get by as little as possible. The banquet, oh, there, everything's laid out. Now, there's all the crystal and the silver, beautiful tablecloths, tapestries. That's where you're going to live. That's what it is. That's Yom Kippur. Physical things, we're in the lobby now. Yom Kippur, we jump into Olam Haba. We jump into a spiritual dimension. That's the idea. That's the idea. That's what it's about. Okay, and another thing on this, in the same idea, says Chazal have a famous statement, Kola Mavir Midaisav Mavrin Lo Kopeshav. A person who looks over his natural tendencies, who passes them over, his urges, natural tendencies, his sins are forgiven. His sins are passed over, measure for measure. What does this mean? What does this mean? So, usually it means a person who ignores insults, offenses, people hurt his feelings, whatever it is, right? Okay, so he forgives his fellow man. If he does that, measure for measure, Hashem will forgive him of the insults, the sins, in other words, that he did towards Hashem. That's a lesson in itself. We should lock on to that. We should forgive everybody that's done anything to us, and in that way we cause a chain reaction. Hashem in turn will forgive us. Okay? Okay, that's for sure. That's for sure true. Okay? But a deeper understanding of this is that if you overlook your natural tendencies and desires for things, and concentrate on the essence of life, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn, right? That is to say, if you concentrate on the purpose of your existence and don't let minor annoyances and inconveniences of the physical world distract you, right? And you concentrate on Torah and mitzvahs, right? Then in turn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat you as such and will help you out. That's what Yom Kippur is about. You're not going to be bothered, you know, by eating or drinking on this day, or all these other things, or how you look or everything. You don't care about these things, right? You're concentrating, you're overlooking your physical side, right? The minor annoyances and the inconvenience of the fasting and whatever it is, and you can't do the other physical enjoyments you like to do, right? You ignore that. You're concentrating on the main thing. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to concentrate on you. He's going to forgive you. He's going to see that you're trying. Okay? That's what Yom Kippur is about. It's a microcosm of what this whole world's about. We're supposed to take this idea of Yom Kippur and put it into the rest of our lives. When we're, you know, on our workaday week, we're going around, we have to realize the main thing is Torah and mitzvahs. The main thing is serving Hashem. And when things don't go so good one day, and we don't have such nice things, and we don't have such good pleasure, and someone insults us, we ignore it. We ignore it. We realize the main thing, right? We don't let the inconveniences steer us from doing Torah. We don't say, once I'm settled and I get this job completed, or you know, this thing completed, then I'll concentrate on learning Torah and serving Hashem and davening. No, just the opposite. Despite this inconvenience, despite I need to make a living, despite I have the kids take care of, whatever it is, I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm going to ignore those things and concentrate on the real thing. The Inyan of Yom Kippur is to know what the truth is. What's the ikkar? What's the main thing? Why you're here? And it's not for eating and drinking. That's not why we're here. Okay? The main thing is Torah, Tefillah, Avodas Hashem, serving God. And the pleasures of this world are secondary. And that's why we leave them alone on Yom Kippur. It's not the shot we're afflicting ourselves. We leave them alone. We don't need them. We're trying to show a representation for the whole year. What's important and what's not. Okay? Hey, this is it in a nutshell, guys. This is in a nutshell. We have to stop and ask ourselves, you know, this representation of Yom Kippur, abstaining from the physical, we got to ask ourselves, is this where I find my simcha? You know what I'm saying? That's what you got to say. What makes me happy? You know, what do I find joy in life? Can I abstain one day from the physicality of the world? Can I do it? Is it? Where do I find my joy? What keeps me going? What gives me joy in life? What am I into? Am I into the physicality, eating, drinking, TV, and all this stuff so much that one day a year I can't show what's really important to me? That's the statement here. That determines. That day, Yom Kippur, Hashem judges you at that moment. How you are right then, that determines what you are, who you are. As a matter of fact, that determines your Olam Haba. Determines your next world. You know that? By what gives you joy in life, what makes you happy, keeps you going, that determines your Olam Haba. You know, we read Yonah. Towards the end of Yom Kippur, we read Yonah. And we talked about this. And this is what we got to ask ourselves. We got to ask ourselves the same question that the captain asked Yonah. What happened? You know, the big storm and sea and everything. And the captain goes up to Yonah and says, Ma malachtecha? Says to Yonah, what do you do, Yonah? What do you do for a living? Tell us about yourself, Yonah. What are you all about? Who are you? Where do you come from? Tell us about yourself. And what does Yonah answer? Vayomer Ivri Anoichi Ve'es Hashem Elokei Hashamayim Aniyore. Says, you want to know what I do for a living? Ich bin a Yid. I'm a God-fearing Jew. That's what I do for a living. That's my life. That's what I'm about. That's what gives me simcha. That's my essence. Not that I'm a carpenter, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm an accountant. Ich bin a God-fearing Jew. That's Yom Kippur. I don't care about the physical. I'm interested in serving you, Hashem. And that determines your Olam Haba. That determines your Olam Haba. Do you get up in the morning and you look forward to davening? Look forward to doing mitzvahs? Or do you look forward, me? Do I look forward to putting on tefillin and tzitzis? Or I can't wait to get them off so I can go out there and play tennis. Do I enjoy a Shabbos? The peaceful tranquility, the communion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Neshama Yisera, and enjoy every moment of it and milk it for all it's worth? Or am I looking at the clock? 45 more minutes, Havdalah, and I can watch All-Star Wrestling. Christ, I don't know, whatever. Alright? Whatever it is. You know, what are we into? What are we into? That determines your Olam Haba. We read a few weeks ago, we talked about this, Kisavo, you know, all these 98 curses come to a person. Why? Tachas asher lo avaz Hashem lokecha besimcha ubetayv lev merayv kail. These come to you because you didn't serve Hashem in simcha. You didn't find your happiness in serving Hashem in simcha when you had everything. You hear? You served God. You were a shomer mitzvahs. You did your shomer Shabbos. You kept kosher. But you weren't in simcha. It's not where you found your simcha. Ki em chayenu, says the Torah. It's your life. You're supposed to feel Torah. Mitzvahs are your life. The Arizal says a deeper pshat on this. The Arizal says on this, he reads the verse to mean, you didn't serve Hashem, but simcha, in joy, like you got out of the rud kol. You served Hashem in simcha a little bit, but not to the degree that you found your simcha in the rud kol, in the materialistic world. Yeah? In no way in the world did you enjoy Shabbos or doing the mitzvahs. That simcha didn't compare to the simcha you got from your vacations, from your Caribbean cruises, from your, you know, whatever it is, your cars, your houses. That's where you found your simcha. So Yom Kippur tells you, get your priorities straight. Leave behind the physical. Everything. This is your simcha. And shul. Alone. No distractions. No phones. Nothing. just with your fellow Jews. Sit there, you and God, nobody else. Think about it. Get into it. Soar. Get in touch. Get spiritual. Leave the Goshmias. What are we living for? That's what we've got to ask ourselves. This day is what we're supposed to be living for. This is supposed to represent our whole lives. They say it's the measure of a man, what makes him happy. And it's a measure also of a man, what gives us pain. Does the animals and the environmental things out there, is that what hurts you? Is that really gives you pain? Is that what you're obsessed about? Or are you in pain over the intermarriage? Over the desecration of God's name in the world? That 99% of your brothers and sisters are not involved in Torah mitzvahs? Which one really bothers you? And are you in simcha because you're a yid? Because you get to go to Torah and mitzvahs? Because you have a Yom Kippur? Where your Tati in Himmel is cleaning you up? Does that give you simcha? That you have a Shabbos, you have a Sukkos, you have a life? Does that give you simcha? Or is you find your simcha in your Corvette Stingray, you know, T-top? Right? In your swimming pool, right? In your condo, whatever it is. Again, what gives you simcha, that determines your Olam Haba. Hashem does a very funny thing with us. He gives us what we want. Let me give you a story, the Chiddushi Harim, to tell you. This is an example how what you're into in this world exactly determines what your Olam Haba is. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Don't think you can sit there and indulge in physicality here. I mean, that's what you really want. Right? And go to the next world and all of a sudden enjoy spiritual zachen. You leave this world and go to that world exactly with what you made yourself in this world. Kedush Yerim, great Hasidic Rebbe from Ger. Evidently he was stranded someplace. Chveis Nish, what exactly was the problem there? But this wagon driver decided to give him a ride, right? So they're riding, and the guy has these two horses. Halfway through the trip, one of the horses plots and dies. So he continues going, right? All of a sudden, the second horse plots and dies. The guy gets down off his wagon. He sees his whole livelihood before him. He's a wagon driver. This is his whole livelihood. Two horses are dead. He mamish is crying. He cries so much his neshama goes out of his body. He dies on the spot. So, Chiddush Harim got a vision, had a dream. He saw what they did with this guy. They gave him Gan Eden. The guy was unlearned, right? Basically, he's an unlearned guy. He wasn't really into spirituality, right? But he did a great mitzvah, right? He did a great mitzvah. He helped the tzaddik, right? So they gave him Gan Eden. Chiddush Harim tells his Hasidim, they gave him Gan Eden, but oy boy, boy, what a Gan Eden. You want to know what his Gan Eden was? What kind of Gan Eden could they give him? What are they going to give him? They're going to give him a yeshiva? They're going to give him a Torah insights? It's not a Gan Eden for him. So what did they give him? So he saw him up there. Saw him in this beautiful carriage with these six white stallions. And that's what he's doing all day, riding around in this beautiful carriage and white stallions. Because that's what he was into in this world. And therefore, that's what he got in that world. What gave him happiness, what gives us joy, what we're into in this world, that determines our Olam Haba. That's what Hashem does. He gives us what we want. He gives us exactly what we want. And some of us are going to be profoundly disappointed. So the way we live in Olam Hazeh, in this world, that determines what our Olam Haba is. Again, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is that microcosm of what life is supposed to be about. Whole day, davening, serving Hashem. That's what we're supposed to find a simcha in. I can't do it. Not a whacked out religion. We're not asking to do that all day. The whole year, people, tzaddikim, have done it. Okay, for us, we would plot, we couldn't handle it. Right, but at least one day a year, get the priorities straight. that this is really the ideal life. You can't do it all year long. Okay. But at least recognize this is the way it's supposed to be. And Bechlal, you should know, as we talked about many times in this class, the materialistic world, right? The transitory things that they call happiness out there and joy, you know, to continually bombard us just make us less and less tranquil and less satisfied. The fact is, there's only one lasting happiness, one intrinsic joy in the world, that the neshama, mamish, finds a manucha, yeshiva das, that's spirituality. Everything else out there is mamish, just a mask, it's just a drug, it's just a quick high, it's an escape, you know, it's a cute joke, and you laugh, and you go back to your insecurities. Yeah? There's only one lasting intrinsic happiness in the world. We have to lock onto that. True inner dimension of simcha. And that's a connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a spirituality. Ever tell you the Carlina story of Art and Carlin? Demonstrate. What are we supposed to be into? What are we supposed to be enjoying? So, Moitzi Shabbos. Malava Malka, right? Kalina Rebbe took an apple. He asked one of his chassidim to bring him an apple, right? Takes the apple, says a bracha on it, and he eats it. The chassid looks at the Rebbe, and he starts thinking to himself, what's the big difference between the Rebbe and me? Hey, he eats an apple, I eat an apple, he says a bracha, I say a bracha. Oh, no, okay, he says a bracha a little more kavana than I do. But basically we're the same. Just then the Rebbe turns to him and goes, let me ask you something, what do you think is the big difference between you and I? And then after all, we both eat apples, we both say brachos. The chassid was shocked. The Rebbe read his mind. Because I'll tell you the difference. I'll tell you the difference. You wake up in the morning, and you're a shtickle hungry. So what do? Yeah, you're diving. Now you're hungry. What do? So, you grab an apple. But you can't eat the apple unless you say a bracha. That's what our sages say. That's the way it's set up. Fine. So you say a bracha so you can eat the apple. So when I wake up in the morning, I see the beauties of creation. I have such a love, an overwhelming love and awe for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't wait to praise His name. I can't say a bracha unless I get some physical enjoyment from the world. That's the way our sages set it up. So, quick, give me some, an apple. That's fine, great. Let me have the apple so I can say a bracha. That's the difference between you and I. You say a bracha so you can eat an apple. I eat an apple so I can praise Hashem and say a bracha. What are we into? The apple or the bracha? Flipping over. That, my friends, is Golas. That's Golas. This story, the bracha and the apple, is Golas. You think Golas is physical persecution on the body? That's not Golas. Golas is Golas of the neshama. It's your soul being in Golas. Your soul not feeling the geschmack in Yiddishkeit, the ruchnius. The more that we're uncomfortable in Yom Kippur and we can't wait till it's over so we can eat, the more neshama is in Golas. That's Golas. That's exile. You look, you know, you live here in America, everything's gone so fine, and you can't think, you can't figure out how this is Golas. And that's precisely why it's Golas. Because you don't realize it's Golas. Because you're so comfortable in the materialism of this exile, you don't even care if you have a tom, some sort of geschmack in Torah, in serving Hashem. It doesn't upset us. All present company excluded. But it doesn't upset us that we don't feel anything when we do mitzvahs. We don't feel anything when we say a bracha. We don't feel anything when we're davening. Das is the biggest golus. Das is the golus of the neshama. Gula. What's a redemption? You know what redemption is? Redemption is when you feel... Hear it. Not that you have a love for Torah mitzvahs. Who can aspire to that? That's a very high level. But you feel you need to have a love for Torah mitzvahs. Oh! That's good enough. Right, well, you love it or you don't. Whether Yom Kippur is a pain for you or not, but at least give a kratz that you wish you had an ava, a love in serving Hashem. Whether you love or not, in a certain sense, it's immaterial. But feel you need to find an ava. Feel you need to find a geschmack in doing Hashem's mitzvahs. Yeah? That's a big thing. When you sin, don't make excuses. Okay, I'm not holding there. I feel bad about it, though. That's tremendous. But if you sit there and rationalize, that's not good. Of course, we have the wrong idea about Yom Kippur. You know, we look at it momish, like it's a day of tremendous afflictions. It's a pain. It's a long day. And we have that idea about all mitzvahs. You know, do's and don'ts. You can't do this. Straight check. I can't watch TV. I can't drive my car. I can't, you know, all the holidays. Certain ones you got to fast. Certain ones you got to eat. Right? Certain things I can wear. Certain things I can't wear. Right? All these things here. You know, let me go already. Get me out of the straight jacket. That's not the vort. Gemara Makos tells us very clearly. Gemara Makos says, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Zachos Yisrael. L'fikach Yirbalam Torah Mitzvahs. It says Hashem wanted to give us merit. Lazachos means merit and it means to purify. Same word. It's from the same root word. Hashem wants to give us merit. And therefore, He gave us a lot to our mitzvahs. He wants us to get a ganz fine Olam Haba, next world. Yeah? And He also wants to purify us. Every time you do, you learn a shtickle Torah, a word of Torah, you do a mitzvah, right? Every time you do that, every moment of that, it sensitizes you. You become more refined, more spiritual, more edel. You don't become coarse and grub. You become a sensitive, feeling individual, not just towards God. That translates in your inner relationships with everybody. You feel, you see, you look at the world now. You see the beauty in creation. You see the beauty in Torah mitzvahs. You see the beauty in being a Jew. It's all connected. That's what Torah mitzvahs. Hashem gave us a lot of them to continually be involved from the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to sleep at night. Constantly, impossible, constantly. The whole day is full. You can't do anything without it being involved in Torah mitzvahs. Why? Because Hashem loves us. It's not a straitjacket. It's not He's punishing us. He loves us. And therefore He gave us all these mitzvahs so we can be refined and we can appreciate and enjoy this world. I am storing up for the next world, that's for sure. But you enjoy this world. You see the beauty of everything in this world. So Dovid HaMelech, you know, so the whole of Elul, we've been saying this. The special psalm, Dovid HaMelech writes, Achad Sha'alti Me'es Hashem. I ask from you, Hashem, one thing. Let me dwell in your house all the days of my life. A geshmak in dwelling in your house. Dwell in your house is serving Hashem. That's what it's all about. That's Yom Kippur. The whole day you're dwelling in His house. That's Yom Kippur. That's it. That is it. That's the paradigm for the whole year. You hear? That's our outlook. Truth is, you know, I couldn't help thinking about this the other day. Aleinu sums it up. Yom Kippur is a day that we get the Torah. Did you know that? The second Luchas. We got the second Luchas in Yom Kippur. It's a day, it's the biggest Simcha, we say. It's the biggest Yontov. Right? And that's what Aleinu is. Aleinu is telling you why you should be in Simcha three times a day. Yeah, we praise you, the master of everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yet you didn't make us like all the other goyim, like all the nations of the earth. And our lot is not like their lot, and our portion is not like theirs. They worship vanity and emptiness, but we worship and thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. Aleinu, that's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Here's another golden oldie that we've been saying throughout the Davar, and we're going to continue saying throughout Simchas Torah, right? And that is, listen to it. It's in the Shmoneh Esrei of all the Yontav Davening. Ata bachartanu mikol ha'amim. You chose us from all the nations. Avas asanu, you love us. Varsisa banu, you want us. Varamasanu mikol ha'shonos, and you raised us up above all the other nations. Vekidashtanu b'mitzvos secha, and you sanctify us by giving us your mitzvahs. Vekraftanu malkeinu lavarsecha, you brought us close to do your service, to serve you. And listen to this. Veshimcha hagodol v'akodosh aleinu karasa, and your great and holy name on us you called. Your name is attached with us. We get to call your name. Your name's with us. We're with you. We get to say brachas. No one else does. You hear that? What, do you understand what the significance of this? Veshimcha hagodol v'akodosh aleinu karasa, we get to call your name? We? Little us? It's a tremendous thing. We're children of the king. What a wealth. I got to lock in on that. So Yom Kippur, we should be Mala Simcha. We're sitting there serving the king of the world. And not only that, he's cleaning us up. Okay. A couple more things. We have like 30 hours left, guys. So what do we need to do? Let me read you from Sefer Todah. It says, Kol ba'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, all our actions are written in the book. Afilu tznua kala, even the slightest action, shoisa, that we do, right, Hashem's going to bring to judgment. We're going to have to give a din of cheshbon, a reckoning for everything we do, why we did it. Okay? Lachen, therefore, mechuyav kol adam liyten nafsho blasim adabrim alibo. Therefore, a person should put these words to heart. Take it to heart. Take it to heart. The lemayet the askav lakvoya b'yom v'layla shas miuchedus lisboided. So therefore, in these days, what we have left, 30 hours, you should diminish your work out there and set times, day and night, to meditate. Isolate yourself. Think. Meditate in your own room. Right? And say to your heart, Lishpoch Sicha Lifnei Yerboro, and pour out your heart to Hashem. Velisvadas Alvanasav, confess your sins. Yaisif mitzvahs, increase your mitzvah observance. Torah, tzedakah. These days are days are called an Eis Ratzon. They're days that Hashem is very close to us and wants to hear from us. These are it. 30 hours. It's called Nidre. Wake up. We got to wake up from our slumber. Got to take some time today, tomorrow. Think, where am I? Who am I? What's going on? What's going on? Talk to Hashem. Say, I don't know what to say to you. That's good. That's a good start. I want to talk to you, but I don't know what to say. I don't know where I'm holding. I'm so confused. I don't even know what to say to you. That's a great start. Okay? I'm going to read you something that's going to be extremely sobering. But it's important. You know, the kittel, guy wears a kittel, right? You know why I wear a kittel on Yom Kippur? Well, kittel is big day macy. It looks like shrouds. That's why I wear a kittel. You hear this? A kittel looks like shrouds. Listen to this from Sefer HaTodah. We wear these clothes that look like shrouds. Simu alalev shebegadim elu anu leif shimakshav, to put in our hearts that these clothes that we're wearing right now, nelech la'olam ha'elyon letendin mecheshu lefei melech malcheyam lochem ha'kodesh baruch hu, to put it on our heart that after 120 years we're going to go in these clothes before the ultimate King of Kings on the ultimate day of judgment to give a reckoning for our actions on earth. Inken, therefore now, Yom Kippur, you should imagine yourself that you're wearing shrouds and you're standing for God's throne of glory to give an accounting and to have a regret for our actions, our deeds. Because when you're standing before the throne of glory after 120 years, you're going to have true regret. The only problem is, ain't going to help. Regret then ain't going to help. Aval achshav, but now, harehi mo'ila, but now, regret works. Tshuva works! Now's the opportunity. That's what it is. That's what we're supposed to feel. We're supposed to imagine ourselves dead before the throne of glory, giving an accounting. Rav Meir Shapira, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who started the Daf Yomi, you want to hear about his final hours, how he made the transition from this world to the next world, a man who lived his whole life like it was Yom Kippur. This is the proof of the pudding. What it means to live in this world, how you can go to the next world. From his sickbed, Rav Meir wrote a note requesting that 10 of his disciples assemble in the room to daven Maariv. Many more quickly entered, and as they davened, tears streamed down every cheek. Those presents had likely never before prayed with quite this degree of feeling as they did that evening in the presence of the Rebbe, whose eyes were closed, but whose face seemed aglow. The Shekhinah, it seemed, was resting on the holy Rav Meir. When the service concluded, Rav Meir opened his eyes and gazed at each and every person in the room. It was not easy to look in his eyes, burning as they were with love and devotion like two fiery coals. Later, after midnight, Rav Meir gestured to his student that he wanted to be washed. They were reluctant at first, but he frowned as if urging them to hurry before it was too late. When they had finished, they placed his head on his cushion. A sign of contentment came over his face, and he signaled his students to move him to an adjacent reception room. As they carefully moved his bed to the room, they noticed that his two doors bore inscriptions. One read, "Donated by Bikur Cholim of Chicago," the other, "Donated by the Benevolent Society of St. Louis." His Rebbetzin then entered the room, crying audibly, and he motioned her to come closer. Taking a pencil and a sheet of paper, with shaking hands, he wrote the message, "Why are you crying? Now will be the real joy." He then gestured to his students to dress them in a new white shirt, and they did with great reverence. He adjusted his payas, and he passed his hands over his face. Signaling again for a pencil, he grasped it with trembling hands, and in unconnected letters wrote the last words he recorded before his soul departed. "All of you should drink L'chaim." What followed was astounding. Whiskey and cake were brought in and portions were handed out to the occupants of the room. Each made the necessary blessing and partook of the refreshments, proceeded one by one to offer their hand to the tzaddik and wish him l'chaim. Rav Meir took each one's hand, held it for a few moments, looking into the greeter's face. Hands were extended, bodies trembled uncontrollably. An unlearned fellow who earned his living by selling cakes and cookies stood in the corner, not daring to enter the inner circle of the students closely associated with Rav Meir. But Rav Meir moved his head in his direction and winked at the man to come closer. The dying sage took hold of the simple merchant's hand and held it for several minutes. After everyone had completed his turn, Rav Meir struggled to say something. With his last ounce of strength, he managed to move his lips to form the word, "V'cha batchu avoseinu." Our fathers trusted in you. They understood that he wanted them to sing the words to the tune that he had composed for these words, and they did. They danced. They danced too, as they never danced before. Tears followed, hands clapped, and they moved in a circle. The dancers did their best to hide their tears, and when they sensed they could no longer hide them, they slipped into an adjoining room where hundreds were reciting Tehillim with emotion and concentration that seemed to penetrate the very heavens. With every passing minute, though, the Rebbe's condition visibly worsened. The entire yeshiva was crowded in two rooms. In one, there was feverish dancing. In the other, heart-rending cries and prayers. Rav Meir followed the song. His hands swayed with the rhythm as his face seemed aflame. As the Talmidim danced around the Rebbe's bed, Rav Meir motioned several sobbing students to come closer. He then whispered his very last words in this world. Nor mit simcha, only with simcha, only with joy. Those present tried to hide their feelings, but it was impossible. One student called out in anguish, "Who will offer part of his life to our Rebbe?" And the response came in a chorus of shouts, I will, we all will. Rav Meir beckoned to the young man who had triggered this outpouring of devotion to come closer. He took him by the hand, held it tight, and looked at everyone present. Suddenly the Talmid let out a scream. Others rushed over to the bed and saw that their Rebbe's soul had departed. Zecher Tzadik Livrucha. That's how a Yid who lives Yom Kippur in this world goes to the next world. Yom Kippur is a time to wake up from our slumbers, guys, and get our priorities straight. Many of us want to serve Hashem. We just don't know how. We want to feel Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, a love and a fear for God, but we just don't know how. So no, Rachmana Liba boy, Hashem wants our heart. If we have a desire to love Him, to fear Him, to do His Torah, to do His mitzvahs, to serve Him, that's the opening of the needle. That's what Hashem's longing to see from His Tyre Kinder. On Yom Kippur, Hashem waits anxiously and expectantly, as it were, for the Jewish people and the Jewish person to return to His embrace. Do tshuva. That's what Hashem says. Come back to me. Come home. Shuv. Return. Return, Yidala, to your source. Reunite with your Creator. As the Art Scroll Siddur, the Machzor says, Yom Kippur is a day of hope and life for Israel. A day of mercy and longing for Hashem. He longs for our repentance so He can bestow His mercy upon us. Don't do wholesale tshuva. Do retail tshuva. Do something. Make an improvement. 30 hours. Meditate in your room. Get together. Find out how can you make yourself better this year. Don't try to grab everything. Massive tshuva. Wholesale. It won't work. Grab something small. That's what it says. Sefer Torah. If you grab something small every year, you find that all your life you're doing tshuva. I don't know. Say brochas out loud. Say Asher Yatzah, the bracha coming out of the bathroom. So I'm going to say Shema every day. I'm going to learn 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night. I don't know, whatever it is. Each one according to their ability. But make a commitment. Come out of, with this Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur with something. That's the idea. You know, we say Avinu Malkeinus. We've been saying them all week long. Right? So one of the Avinu Malkeinu says, Avinu Malkeinu, Na'al Tashiveinu Reikam Ufonecha. Don't let us go out empty-handed. Rav Chaim Dov Keller says on this, you know what that is? That's a prayer to Hashem. How many Rosh Hashanahs and Yom Kippurs have gone by, and 2 days later it's back to business as usual? So the prayer is, Avinu Malkeinu. If on Rosh Hashanah you were Malkeinu, our King, Yom Kippur, you're Avinu, you're our Tati in Himmel, you're our Father. Don't let us leave this Yom Kippur empty-handed. Don't let another Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur go by. We'll return empty-handed with nothing to apply to the rest of the year. Make a commitment, something small. Take something out of this Yom Kippur for the rest of the year. Make yourself better. Make a tefisa on tshuva. And we shall have a gemar chasima tova.